This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and it is a great day to look back on the year just past and to look forward to the year ahead. There's a prediction from Senator Lindsey Graham, speaking on Newsmax, about what the year ahead in politics is going to bring. And part of what he is talking about is already controversial, of course. Most things in politics are controversial in the United States, where the two sides politically are so dramatically different from one another. We will get to that in a moment. There is also an announcement for the new year with Sheila Jackson Lee, basically hoping to lead a bunch of her followers and admirers off a political cliff into a total political disaster, which I can't believe that anyone thinks would help the Democratic Party in any way. Or perhaps it would only help the country by clarifying an issue that has been hanging around for a long time, but it is an issue where honestly, it totally unites people who are not Democrats, and I think divides Democrats very badly. The issue is reparations, because you'll notice how Democrats spoke about that quite a bit while President Trump was president, but while President Biden has been president, they've been fairly determined to leave it alone because they know that President Biden cannot in any way or in any sense support the idea of reparations. It is a crazy concept. What do you say, for instance, to Latino people? We were speaking yesterday about this with Ruben Navarrete. Actually, I think it was Tuesday. We may have been speaking to Ruben. And Ruben Navarrete is an American-born Mexican-American. His father served in the police force in San Diego for years and years. Ruben's been very successful. He is a very proud Latino. But what do you say to Latinos about reparations? There are more Latinos in this country than black people. There are a growing number of Asians. Have Asians suffered from persecution and from double standards in the laws? Tremendously. There were actually race riots with literally hundreds of people killed against Asians in places throughout the West Coast. Seattle had anti-Chinese riots where people were persecuted. And the idea that you are now going to encourage the idea that be based on skin color, not based on personal experience, but based on skin color and ancestry, there is going to be all kinds of special privileges and money. Yes, cold hard cash that's going to be handed out. The idea of even talking about it. I think there are many people who are very passionate on this issue, and rightfully so. Especially people whose ancestors came to the United States long after slavery was over. The big years for immigration in the United States were not these most recent years. The big years for immigration in terms of percentage of new people coming to this country were 1880 to 1924. In 1924, things changed because they changed the immigration laws. But here is Sheila Jackson Lee speaking on the House floor and talking about Representative Jamal Bowman, one of the new members from New York. He's also African-American. He's a member of the squad. Here is what they actually want to do, pushing the idea of a brand new commission to look into student loan forgiveness and reparations. Listen.
The burden of student debt reaches deep into communities of color. Increasing evidence suggests that it is hampering the ability to build wealth. One of the reasons my good friend and myself are also interested in the idea of the Commission to Study Slavery and Develop Reparation Proposals is to get a roadmap of some of the populations that are impacted negatively by student debt. Default and delinquency rates on student loans remain appallingly high. And 3.6 million students are in the state of Texas. And the nation carries the $1.7 trillion debt. And we know that 79% of black students had student debt by their fourth year. We know it impacts our Latinx families and families that come from rural communities. We are concerned about them.
Okay, again, this is a little bit crazy and a little bit contradictory. Because if you're going to say that the solution for people to close gaps, to make progress, really has to do with going to college, then what you're saying is that there shouldn't be student loans that are made available on a favorable basis, that there should be gifts to people. But then again, how do you explain that you are giving gifts to people based upon race? Is that the form of the reparations that, for instance, white students who are poor, and there are more poor people in America who are white than of any other ethnic background, any other ethnic group? The entire issue of reparations is so toxic and so unrealistic and so nonsensical, and the best way to see it as nonsensical is we were talking yesterday about Joe Rogan taking the position that, yes, Michelle Obama could be a very successful presidential candidate. Yes, she could. She would be eligible for reparations, by the way, wouldn't she? I mean, not Barack Obama. He's not eligible. Why not? Well, because his ancestors were never enslaved. His ancestors remained in Kenya. And no, this is not a birther thing. Obama was born in Hawaii, but his father was from Kenya, and his grandfather was from Kenya. And they were never enslaved. They may have suffered because of colonialism, but actually I think the Obama family did pretty well. Certainly his father was a prominent and powerful person when he went back to Kenya after going to school here in the United States. In any event, the point being that how do you explain to people that if somebody in, say, like the family that J.D. Vance came from, J.D. Vance is a Republican candidate for Senate in Ohio. He's the author of Hillbilly Elegy. He came from a family that was racked by drugs and unemployment and financial setbacks. It was what people used to call white trash, a poor white family, hillbilly family, as J.D. Vance himself talked about it. And he worked his way out without reparations. And why does it make sense for someone like J.D. Vance, who has not had profound advantages in his life? A key thing he did in his life was serve in the military, which helped him get into college and then after that to go to law school at Yale. In any event, the point about J.D. Vance or any of anyone else who may not be of color is, why should somebody whose family has suffered for a long time, for a family that's been downtrodden for a long time, and there are literally millions of white families like that, why should an individual like that be forced to contribute some tax money? And everybody in America, even the poorest, pays some kind of tax money, Social Security, which I know it's supposed to be a pension. But the point being that the idea that you are going to advantage certain people based upon their ancestry, based upon nothing they did, but based upon something that their ancestors may have suffered, that you are going to advantage people based on that rather than based on what benefits the country most, is such a misconception. And such a wrong way to proceed. and it is also going to be a disaster to the Democratic Party. So what should we look forward to in the political year 2022 other than a new push for reparations? We'll get to that coming up on the MedMed Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener's Square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
On the Michael Medved show, there is something else that we obviously have to look forward to that is going to be a very significant moment for the United States, which is today we are December 30th. Okay, we're almost to the end of the year, and we're talking about coming up at the end of next week. Let's see, which day of the week is it? We have the anniversary of January 6th. Now, is this going to be a big day in America? I do think that President Trump is suggesting it will be a big day. He is suggesting that he will give a press conference on the anniversary of January 6th in order to speak about the rigged election, which I'm sure will be very unifying. Is that part of him getting ready to declare his candidacy for president? Will that help him in that regard? Especially with people across the country so divided over what January 6th actually was. There's a new survey about that, which we will get to on the Medved show. But first off, Senator Lindsey Graham, who has become a bit unpredictable. I mean, more than a bit. Very often, most of the time, he's a very enthusiastic Trump supporter. During and immediately after January 6th, Lindsey Graham was not. He saw that as a very serious attack on America, but apparently he doesn't feel that any longer. Here is the way that he predicts what 2022 is going to be all about on Newsmax. Lindsey Graham.
This is the year for the Republicans to take back the Senate, 2022. And when we get back the Senate, we're going to stop this socialist agenda. And we're going to shape the battlefield for 2024. I think about this time next year, Donald Trump's going to announce he's going to run for president in 2024. So if we have the House and the Senate, we should do a couple things. One, do good things for the American people, but also bring up issues that help our nominee, which I think will be Trump, showcase the differences between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Bring up bills that are tough on crime. Bring up bills that would secure the border. Bring up bills that would stand firmly behind Israel. So if we get the House and the Senate, we have a chance to shape the battlefield for 2024 politically, presidentially. That's why it's so important that we take back both bodies.
Okay, that's fine, but he is anticipating that President Trump will wait till a year from this time to announce or to signal his presidential candidacy. Part of what people are talking about the diverging on the perils and lessons of the January 6th Capitol attack, there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal about that, based upon a Quinnipiac poll and based upon interviews with voters across the U.S. The reason that I think it's not likely that President Trump, if he is going to run for office, that he would wait until after the election of 2022. He cares very, very much about primary elections. I believe he has now endorsed some 80 different candidates, including candidates on the state legislative level. And not all of those candidates are controversial. Some of them are very controversial. And the one thing that Trump wants to do is he wants to win in those primary struggles for Republican nominations. And I think that the more likely it is that he puts himself forward as a potential candidate, as a likely candidate, as a certain candidate perhaps in 2024, the more influence he can actually have in mobilizing the support he does have within the Republican Party to win for some of those candidates, the candidates who are, for instance, challenging people. Well, Liz Cheney would be one obvious target, but there are others in the state of Washington. Two of our fine Republican congressmen are going to be challenged by Trump because they ended up voting for his impeachment. And the idea that we're going to be fighting about that, I don't think is going to help the Republicans generally in 2022. And the idea that those fights would wait, or that Trump would pursue those fights after the election that takes place, who knows? But what they report in the Wall Street Journal, and again, the Wall Street Journal is not pro-Biden, it is not pro-Democratic, it is strongly Republican. It has a great editorial today about the way that the new population numbers show how ineffective the Democratic Party has been, not just with its economic policies or its tax policies, but its policies regarding COVID lockdowns and interfering with the economy. We will get to that. But their piece on the lessons of January 6th and the Capitol attack says a recent Quinnipiac poll found that 93% of Democrats and 56% of independents considered the attack on January 6th an attack on the government. Which, it seems to me, how is it not an attack on the government? When you're trying to stop the Senate of the United States and a majority of both the Senate and the House from moving forward with the certification of the election, how does the Capitol of the United States, how does the Senate and the House of the United States not represent the government? Because the government and things in the Senate and the House and in the country at large are generally decided by majorities, and there was nothing like a majority on any of the states that were contested. And this is what happened when they finally did vote on the certification. There were very few Republicans who voted no on the final certification. In fact, there were no U.S. senators for five of the seven states that were contested who supported the contesting of those states. None. No Republican, no Democrat, no anybody. In any event, 93% of Democrats thought this was an attack on the government. 56% of independents thought it was an attack on the government, but only 29% of Republicans said the same. If it's not an attack on the government, what's an attack on? And no, it's not just Democrats. They were chanting, and you can hear it there on the tape, hang Mike Pence. He's not a Democrat. A Pew Research Center poll showed a declining share of Republicans who believe that it's important that rioters be prosecuted, with 57% expressing support for prosecuting the rioters, down from 79% in March. While Democrats were steady, 95% of Democrats want the rioters to be prosecuted. I think that the fact that people are falling away from the eagerness to prosecute the rioters has to do with people just being tired of hearing again and again and again and again about those few rather disgraceful.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. The CDC is advising against cruise ship travel regardless of vaccination status. The health agency also raising the cruise ship travel warning to the highest level. The news comes just hours after Royal Caribbean said fewer than 1% of guests have tested positive while cruising with them. The New York City Police Department is beefing up security in and around Times Square while also dealing with staffing issues as a significant number of officers are out sick with coronavirus. Commissioner Dermot Shea says he's happy to have people back in person for the ball drop, adding the NYPD is ready.
Last year, standing in the middle of Times Square, and it was empty. Not something I want to see happen again. We're used to big crowds. We're going to be ready. It won't be as big as normal. We just ask everyone, plan accordingly.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, what do we have to look forward to a week from now? A week from now is when we are going to be observing the anniversary. Isn't that unbelievable how quickly that's come? We're going to be just observing the anniversary of that January 6th insurrection, some people call it. I think that's a false term. I think it was a riot. I don't think it was planned. I mean, nobody planned to have a guy with a horned helmet and various beaver fur things hanging over his bare chest presiding over the dais at the Senate chambers. This was not an insurrection. Insurrection means that here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. I don't think there's any evidence of that at all. But again, it's what there is some planning about how people are going to be observing the date of January 6th, which was shocking. Nothing like that had happened in American history before. A mass attack that was successful, overcoming police resistance of the Capitol building that was basically occupied territory for about 4 hours. In any event, the events of January 6th are the focus of congressional and criminal investigations. Democrats plan a Capitol vigil to mark the anniversary. What is that going to be, with candles and singing hymns and sitting down? What kind of vigil is that going to be? Former President Donald Trump, the Wall Street Journal writes, has promised a news conference, be still my heart, at his Mar-a-Lago estate to revisit his claims of a rigged election. allegations that helped drive the January 6th riot. If President Trump is smart about this and wants to help build the success of his new media empire that he's on the verge of establishing, much to his benefit, if he wants to succeed with all that, does he really want to use the anniversary of January 6th to basically say the rioters were right, that the election was stolen? I'm not sure he's going to go through. I hope he does not with that kind of press conference. What's interesting here is, as I say in the Wall Street Journal, interviews with voters across the U.S. reveal disparate impressions of the day, with some describing it as a dangerous attack on democracy, others viewing it as a protest that got out of hand, and still others saying Democrats and the news media have overblown the severity of the attack. Now, they give you three choices there. I think all three are true. I think, yes, Democrats and the news media have overblown the severity of the attack. When people say we were this close, we were inches away from losing our democracy, for anyone who believes that, you are greatly exaggerating the organization and the intelligence and the ability of the rioters. And again, I'll challenge anybody. It's an interesting time to think about it, because it's a year later now. We should have some perspective. If someone wants to come on and tell me how it possibly could have transpired that on January 6th, we would have lost our democracy because of a bunch of, some of them well-meaning, but a bunch of basically deranged people. I mean, if you are well-meaning, you don't attack police officers and injure them. You don't smash windows or smear feces or basically threaten people in the Capitol building of the United States. And that's disgraceful. It's wrong. It's, in fact, disgusting, and you can't watch any of these videos without being disgusted. But to say that this is the end of democracy in the United States, you need a whole lot more steps than that. And if somebody wants to call in 1-800-955-1776 and tell me how you suspect that the attack on the Capitol building might have worked to bring down democracy, to overturn an election. Okay, so yes, I believe that the Democrats and news media have overblown the severity of the attack. And yes, I also believe it was a dangerous attack on democracy. Anytime you are saying that an election is illegitimate, we are going to overturn the election using extra legal means. And certainly entering the Capitol and threatening people and clearly threatening violence and perpetrating violence, that may not be a deadly attack on democracy, but it's an attack. And for the idea that it was a protest that got out of hand, it clearly was that too. It's all three. The reason it was a protest that got out of hand is there were far more people who went to listen to the president speak at the Ellipse, condemning the election, talking about stopping the steal, talking about resistance. But see, this is the one thing that President Trump is going to need to answer at some point. What do you have in mind? And this is the real problem with demonstrations is, okay, you're going to show how you feel. And great. That's all an American thing to do. You can come to any demonstration. You can cheer. But how is that going to change an election where all the votes have already been counted and recounted, where there is no more legal recourse because the entire court system, including tons of judges who were appointed by Trump, have ruled out efforts to use democratic means, to use governmental means, to use civilized means to try to overturn the election results that you don't accept? They say further in this Wall Street Journal piece that a year later, the riot and Mr. Trump's role remain an uncomfortable subject for many Republican lawmakers. Mr. Trump has characterized the January 6th attack as a simple protest and claimed the actual insurrection took place on November 3rd, referring to Election Day. Several GOP senators declined to say what they thought of these remarks when asked in recent weeks. There is evidence of only a handful of rioters with left-wing affiliations. More than 700 people have been charged in connection with the attack and face a variety of charges depending on their alleged involvement in the violence. Of the people who have been arrested and identified, there are far less than 2% who do not have clearly demonstrated Trump affiliations, pro-Trump affiliations, and right-wing affiliations. Jeremy Stewart, 45, a Trump voter from Pueblo, Colorado, rejected labeling January 6th an insurrection, but he said, quote, "I believe there may be one coming. There are enough Americans that are getting fed up with this game that isn't being played, that's being played, this political game." What is the political game that is being played now that people want an insurrection against? And how does that work? What's it going to be like next time if we continue to go down this route where we kind of split off into our tribes and there's no accountability? I know people kind of roll their eyes, but our democracy really is fragile. That's someone named Pardal, who was interviewed, Anthony Pardal, 36, of Reston, Virginia. Let me just say, and I think we're going to have a chance to talk about this later in the show today. Our democracy, is it really that fragile? And again, I'd love to hear from somebody. If you think it's that fragile, that means it can be definitively broken. How would that happen? How would that work? Is that worth talking about? Because when you start talking about it, you can see that we're probably in a lot better shape than most people think. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
The Michael MedVed Show. MichaelMedVed.com.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to MichaelMedVed.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedVed.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
I'm a big Michael Medved fan.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it's worthwhile pointing out, it seems to me, just grotesque government failures. And one of those government failures on a reform, as it was called, that was supposed to make things less criminal, more under control, more of the idea of basically legalizing weed. This is a piece from Politico. It's obviously it's not a right-wing kind of screed. They report that California's cannabis market is booming. Nearly 5 years after voters legalized recreational weed. But there's a catch. The vast majority of pot sales are still underground. Rather than make cannabis a Main Street fixture, California's strict regulations have led most industry operators to close shop, to flee the state, or to sell in the state's illegal market that approaches, are you ready for this? $8 billion annually. Twice the volume of legal sales. There are now, by the way, new numbers. This is from a couple of weeks ago. New numbers that say it's not just twice the volume of legal sales, it's three times the size of legal sales. That 75% of the marijuana purchased in California, which is obviously the largest market there is for weed, that three times 75% of the sales are underground or illegal. Infighting between industry groups and lobbying dysfunction in Sacramento have stalled potential legislative fixes with no clear end in sight. The scale of those problems has California's iconic cannabis industry, the legal side at least, lagging behind other states that have regulated the market. You don't have a real cannabis industry if the dominant portion of it has no interest in being legal. And also, that was supposed to show you the whole idea of legalized pot was, why shouldn't the state make some tax money on it? You don't make any tax money on illegal sales. And the idea that something that can be produced and harvested and marketed as easily as marijuana sort of magically be regulated and illegal, all that the legalization has done in California is to promote and to magnify the marijuana use. And in terms of public safety and the way people behave, and in terms of public health, the idea of greatly increased marijuana consumption, both illegally and legally, seems to me hardly a benefit for the state of California or for other states like the state of Washington that have legalized weed. And speaking of an alternative to weed, a Tennessee woman has been federally charged for getting drunk and assaulting flight attendants on a Spirit Airlines flight in November. The woman's name is a criminal complaint alleges that Amanda Renee Henry, who was 43, was en route to Nashville from Fort Lauderdale when flight attendants noticed her becoming visibly intoxicated. And they made a call to cut her off. In other words, they're supposed to do that to watch that when people are getting visibly drunk, you don't give them any more booze. And what I don't understand is, number one, people have to be considering, with some of these more than 5,000 incidents in the course of the year just passed, and two incidents a day. I mean, it's more than that, right? Yes, of course it's more than that. It's like 20 incidents a day. It's appalling. And I would have thought that there were some airlines that would just say, okay, no more booze, period. It's not prohibition. You don't have a right to get booze on an airplane. But that at least apparently they have the ability to stop people from boozing if they're losing it. Start losing it, stop boozing it. Okay, that makes sense. In any event, one of the flight attendants, actually it was two of them, made a decision, no more booze for Amanda Renee Henry. And she is then accused of becoming belligerent with her bizarre in-flight behavior, including puffing a vape. That's not legal on a plane. Can you imagine you were on this flight puffing a vape and making bawdy sexual overtures to men in the cabin? When attendants asked her to move to an emergency seat away from other passengers, she apparently decided that she had had enough. According to the criminal complaint, Henry screamed, "I am getting off this plane." She then made a dash to the emergency door and allegedly kicked it and pulled the hair of a flight attendant standing in her way and had to be handcuffed for the rest of the flight. Now, if that flight attendant doesn't continue to stand there, if you go to an emergency door and you're strong enough and crazy enough and drunk enough, that's going to be a problem for a plane. I'm getting off this plane. It wouldn't have just damaged her. She then allegedly kicked and pulled the hair of an attendant standing in her way and had to be handcuffed for the rest of the flight. Henry turned herself into the FBI 2 days ago. If convicted, she faces 20 years behind bars and a $250,000 fine. How about a lifetime ban on boarding any public transportation, but certainly an airplane? It seems that, again, this is one of those things that we ought to have some unanimity about, and ought to be possible to gain unanimity about. There are two columns that are done, and I want to do both of them. The first one we can do pretty quickly. There are columns by Mark Thiessen, who's a close observer of what's going on in Washington, of the 10 best things that Biden has done in his first year as president, and a much longer column on the 10 worst things that Biden has done. The 10 best things Biden has done. Number 10, he launched the first test of a new system to defend Earth from a killer asteroid. This is real. On his orders, NASA launched a rocket into space, testing whether a spacecraft can nudge a celestial body in a way that will alter its orbit. By the way, this is perhaps a response to the new movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence and Meryl Streep playing the president called Don't Look Up. It's intermittently funny. Not great. But number nine, he twice launched airstrikes against Iranian proxy forces in Iraq and Syria. Number eight, he became the first president to resist Turkish pressure and to officially acknowledge the 1915 genocide against Armenians. That actually is an important thing, and he was right to do it, and good for him. Then he sidelined the court-packing movement on the left. That's actually probably the best thing that he did. Biden created a commission that included sensible liberals and conservatives, which steered clear of taking a position on the most controversial ideas for changing the court. He elevated quadrilateral security dialogue, the Quad, between the United States, Australia, India, and Japan. He stepped up U.S. support for Taiwan, though he tiptoed away from saying that we would necessarily defend Taiwan, still moving in the right direction. And then the last three things, he announced a historic trilateral security agreement with Australia and Britain to counter Chinese hegemony. Yes, it ticked off the French, but it's still an important thing. Number two, he accelerated COVID vaccine delivery at home and abroad in the United States. More than 70% of American adults are now fully vaccinated. Yeah, but a lot of them need to get boosters, too. And then number one, he says he signed a $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill into law. Biden campaigned on a promise to usher in a new era of bipartisan cooperation. Sadly, this was the only major piece of legislation to deliver on that promise. It will provide non-inflationary long-term investments in roads, bridges, ports, and waterways. His passage also saved the filibuster by delivering Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin Jr., Joe Manchin III, actually, the two lonely Democrats standing in the way of filibuster elimination and vindicating their effort to reach across the aisle. Okay, there's your list. The best things he did by Mark Thiessen. What about the 10 worst things he did? Just wait. You will hear that. We'll also talk about a bunch of new movies, none of them either the best or the worst, but some of them, one of them, pretty good and entertaining, released this weekend. We will get to that and more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold ship to your door. It's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.